has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 17th. Holidays today. Let me bring my guys up. Holidays today. Peach Ice Cream Day. Okay. World Emoji Day and Yellow Pig Day. And I don't even know what that means. Birthdays today. Former WCW wrestler Daphne is 46. Oh, I gave away a lady's age. Sorry. ECW's former TNA Aces and Eights member, and Mike Knox is 43 today. And Mojo Rawley, you remember him? You might have remembered him. If you blinked your eyes, you might have not. Mojo Rawley's 35 today, living off that NFL pension, I'm guessing. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. I want to thank everybody who came out to UFC 264 last weekend at Salvatore's at the garage door. We're going to be there for UFC 265. I know I talk too much, and I know I got to stop talking so much when they hand me a microphone. But you know what? It was a great night of UFC fights, except for a gruesome ankle injury by Conor McGregor, and he wasn't even touched and it happened. So maybe it happened earlier in the fight, and it just took him stepping back once to have it snap in half and Joe Theismann-ish look. But that was a lot of fun. People were very into it, and we had a great time. Ferbs was there. Double B Brian Burke came out of nowhere, wherever he has been hiding, and he came out. And we're going to be there August 7th for UFC 265. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. They are starting to practice this week, so that's a good thing. It means that we're getting back into maybe we'll have something by the end of the year. We'll see how that goes. And the Flower City Fear is the men's team, FLOUR, Flower City Fear. You can always help out with them too, flowercityfear.com. Contact them. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man. Hopefully you're getting us. If not, you're getting us some way, one way or the other. We are taking your calls. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You can call from anywhere outside the Rochester area. Just put a 585 on the front of it. I am joined today by three very intelligent men in the world of pro wrestling in the on this show, and that would be the artiste, Rob Sanderson. Rob, how's it going?
Was that me? I'm having trouble hearing you. But
oh yeah. I
think you said me. If you did, good morning.
Yeah, I did say you. And maybe my microphone's working through my camera again. I don't know, or it's coming through. It's coming through the camera. I'll fix that in a minute. Danger Boy joins us from the town of Gates. Danger, how's it going?
It's enjoying a nice dreary Saturday because apparently all we get on the weekends is rain now. With my nice bright shirt to cheer everybody up.
Okay. I think that sounds good, and I just changed my microphone, so it's got to be better. I get thumbs up from everybody. Dan, we're joined by Ferbs, man. Ferbs, who joined me out for the Conor McGregor ankle break. What's up, Ferbs?
Not too much. I think I called the ankle break 5 seconds before it happened. But
it was nasty.
Who knew?
It was nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah, that was.
It was pretty gross, but unfortunate ending to that. But who knew we would get so much rain that it would take me 2 hours to get home from Buffalo last night. But, it is what it is.
That's right. You went to a ball game out there. You got to see, who knows, now that the border is opening up in August, Toronto,
most likely. Let's not jinx it.
Toronto is talking about playing the rest of the season in Toronto. So I think it's like halfway through August, they're going to be moving up there. So
July 30th, I think.
July 30th.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think that's yesterday, actually. Yeah. Yep, it got confirmed last night. So actually, I was lucky. I was able to get the last home series in Buffalo. So
nice. That was the last home series. It's going to be in Buffalo.
Because they play the Rangers yesterday, today, tomorrow, and then I think they're there to the 24th, and then they go on the road, and then they'll be in Toronto.
Oh, man. Okay. So, well, that's cool. I got a chance. I never got a chance to get out there, but I've seen Toronto in Toronto. It's just a little bit longer of a drive, you know, but not this team, at least. This team's a young power-hitting team. So we're here to talk about the pro wrestling, by the way. That's what this show is about, the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. And we had a lot of things going on this past week. We got a busy weekend of wrestling. We've got two pay-per-views. We got Slammiversary. You can get that on Fight TV, as well as WWE's Money in the Bank, which was solidified as of last night on SmackDown. But before we get too far into anything, I want to talk a little bit about the of Mr. Wonderful dying this past week. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff died Monday at the age of 71. He'd been living in a medical facility while battling dementia. His son Travis let everybody know what was going on, and Orndorff. If you know him, you know, I mean, excuse me. He was a guy who really was around the beginning of Hulkamania. You know, he really had a lot to do with that. A lot in the giant popularity of the WWF at the time. But he was a guy who was a solid hand. They called him Coach when he was in WCW. I believe that he was running their training facility at one time, or had something to do with it. But I have a lot of memories. I remember him very well as being part of him and Roddy Piper were, you know, like the bad guy team in the beginning of rock and wrestling, the rock and wrestling period. And it's really just sad because the last time I remember seeing him, and honestly, this is the last time I saw him live, he was playing the coach in WCW, and he got a stinger at a Fall Brawl in Buffalo. Was that right, Danger?
Yeah, it was Fall Brawl. He had the stinger, and everybody was, you know, really worried about it, and everyone froze in the ring, too. It was really an awkward time period.
Yeah, they wrestled around the corner that he was laid out in, and it was just really odd. But Danger, you have any memories of Paul Orndorff? And I know I've always used to kid around and say Paul had this little arm. He had one big arm and one little arm, and that's legit because he's talked about it. He was in the middle of a huge push, got an injury, and he could have gone and had surgery and then lost all that momentum. But he was a guy who said, "Nope, I'm going to stick through it," and so he never was able to get the muscularity back in his one arm. And so he, you know, it didn't hurt his career, but it did, you know, he did look, you know, not even, you know.
Well, it cut down on the length of his career because he had nerve issues with his neck. He had a neck injury during that run with Hogan. And at that time period, if you took time off for an injury, you lost your spot. So he didn't take that time off. He made the money that he could at the time, and it cost him longevity in his career. And, you know, the first shot I got of him was in the mid to early 90s, watching him in WCW when he first came in and when he was doing the stuff. And I love the backstage story about him beating up Vader in a pair of sandals. But it's sad. It's 71 is young these days, and we had heard he was in ill health a couple weeks ago, and it's not a good way to go, and it's unfortunate.
And this may be a CTE thing, too, because, you know, I mean, we're seeing that more and more. Artis, do you have any thoughts?
I'll be honest. Most of his career was before or right before my time watching. Obviously, I've gone back and seen a good amount of his stuff. It's sad to see that Heenan family group picture kind of floating around social media this week, and now every single person is gone from that group. So definitely a legacy. I think he's just one of those people that, you know, you don't really hear too many negative things about from outside the ring and stuff. Everybody had good interactions with him and stuff. So definitely sad.
Yeah, and like I said, his last run in WCW, he was like the coach of the young guys. It was Palumbo was one of them. Chuck Palumbo. Who else was there? Was a bunch. I remember they were taking on the Rey Mysterio's group, the Animals, the
Filthy Animals.
Yeah, Filthy Animals with Conan and stuff. And it was and remember Rey Mysterio was in that match in which Paul took the stinger and he was the one who was like running everybody out of the corner in which they were working on him. That was just a weird night in general, because we also had the Shane Douglas match that night at Fall Brawl in Buffalo where they were on the scaffolding, and that happened right after someone got actually legit hurt in a match, and it makes you wonder, what we were still going, wow, are they still going to do this match because someone just got hurt in the ring, and now they're doing this one where it's a scaffolding, it's along the Titantron or whatever they called it, the WCW Tron, and it was just a weird night of wrestling. But yeah, Paul Orndorff was always, he basked in being the heel, and he did it most of his career. And I would say, if you have a comment or a memory of Paul Orndorff, give us a call at 222-1280, *1280. Put a 585 if you're outside the area code. We got a lot of stuff talking about, and we're going to kind of move on a little bit here. This weekend, a lot of things going on. Slammiversary is tonight. TNA Slammiversary, Impact Slammiversary. I'm sorry. I'm just a man of bad habits who goes back and remembers what it used to be. But, this is a very, and we lost Ferbs. I don't know. Hopefully he can get back in. But this is an important pay-per-view, I think, because Kenny Omega has held this belt for, 6 months now? I mean, it seems like forever. I know it's not 6 months, but and he's taking on Sami Callihan in a no-DQ match for the World Championship. Is there a chance that we're going to see the title change this weekend? Anyone have any feelings on that?
I think there's absolutely a chance. I think one of the most intriguing things to me about this pay-per-view is that match, because had they maybe done more with this crossover that wasn't really a crossover, or whatever you want to call the Impact AEW stuff, maybe you'd be more inclined to think, all right, Omega's 100% going to win. The way that AEW hasn't acknowledged any of this recently at all, the way Callahan's been built up, the fact that it's a no DQ match, which there's so many interference possibilities from both sides of that match, if I had to bet, I would say Omega retains, but I really wouldn't be surprised to see Callahan take it and Omega to kind of just move on from this, because I don't know, it's disappointing. I think they could have done so much more with it and still could do so much more with it, but I, from a wrestling side of things, I'm just looking forward to the match itself quite a bit.
Definitely, and it makes me think this past week with the Adam Page build-up for a Kenny Omega rematch, which the announcers were clearly telling us when Adam Page came out, that maybe Kenny Omega can focus on being the AEW champion and not have to, do TNA stuff. I mean, Impact Wrestling stuff. Ferbs, what are the odds Kenny Omega is going to walk out the champion still tonight after Slammiversary?
66 2/3 chance.
Okay.
Honestly,
128.
Have you been to Vegas by any chance? I'm just wondering.
I agree with Artis. I think there's a good chance Callahan walks out with the title tonight. I think it's time to move on from this. I don't think it went nearly as well with this whole crossover stuff. Again, like you said, AEW didn't really acknowledge any of this, and it's time for him to just be the AEW champion. I think, the whole belt collector thing didn't go over as well, but I think there's a good chance Callahan brings home the title tonight.
Danger, you have some thoughts?
I think it's going to be a good match. I think Kenny should stay and focus on AEW. I wouldn't be surprised if he walks out with the title, but I'd prefer Callahan walk out with it tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be exciting because Callahan's the kind of guy that, always everyone always underestimates, but always comes for big matches. He always shows up for big matches. And, unless he's got a baseball bat and he's beating, Eddie Edwards with it. But, beyond that, I think that we'll talk more about that because we got a break real quick. We'll be back on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, Danger Boy, Furby and you, and we were talking about TNA, sorry, Impact Wrestling's pay-per-view that's going on this week, tonight. And but we're going to go to the phones real quick first. We got a call from Mike from Rochester. Mike, what is happening, sir?
Not too much, guys. It was just it was appreciative to finally see fans at shows. The AEW show on Wednesday and last night's SmackDown was definitely a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I will say WWE certainly patted themselves on the back about it, you know. And then Vince McMahon, what does he do? Come out and say, you know, where have you been or whatever, you know. Just it's
where the hell have you been? That was perfect from Vince.
I actually thought it was perfect too. Yeah. I definitely did. I noticed one of the things about the show last night, and obviously they still had a little bit of heat segments with, like, obviously Seth Rollins winning at the end of the show. But having Roman Reigns come out first and actually wrestle, that's a very rare thing. And I hope that that's a start of a trend, because one of the things I hate about Raw SmackDown is the fact that they constantly have, like, opening talking segments. I like the fact when the show starts that they get right to a match. So I'm hoping that that's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I thought it was a smart idea. I mean, especially the first show back in front of a live crowd. I think they owe it to the fans, you know. I thought it was fantastic. Great way to get the ball rolling again. And the crowd was hot. The crowd was into it the whole entire night, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there was a lot of love between WWE, as particularly Vince McMahon and the wrestlers and the people in the crowd. And yeah, you start up with a 3-on-3. You know, I mean, that was fun. I think that they just tried to, you know, this is the go home before the pay-per-view. So that's why we're going to get a lot of the matchups that we'll see on the pay-per-view eventually. I think of course AEW was in front of people last week as well. And that was super exciting, you know, to hear. And then you hear AEW drew 1 million people watching Fighter Fest. That just blew my mind.
Especially when the NBA Finals was going on head-to-head for the last hour.
They had their best numbers ever, and it's, you know, just because, and which is amazing, you know. I'm just blown away that they're legit, you know. And that,
did you see how many tickets they've sold for the Arthur Ashe Stadium show?
I didn't see.
They've sold about, I believe, about 16,000-17,000 tickets already.
Oh man, that's gonna be
like the largest, like, U.S. pro wrestling crowd, not including WWE, since probably 99 WCW probably.
Yeah, you know, it's funny is I just saw Dave Meltzer saying that the biggest paid crowd ever for a Impact or TNA wrestling event was 6,400 people. So, which is, you know, that beats it by quite a bit there, you know. So that's, you know, and of course the first All In had sold out at 10,000. So. There's a lot of good stuff happening now, and hopefully WWE creative can keep up with the excitement of what was going on, because the creative has been very, you know, I mean, very shallow lately. And then,
oh yeah,
we even got word this week that Bill Goldberg's coming back for SummerSlam.
Don't get me started on that.
Sorry, but it's because I think Brock Lesnar isn't. That's why they're going with Bill Goldberg. So
Can I ask a stupid question? I know this is going to be a sound like a stupid question, but what's going on with Keith Lee? If he's not cleared, then what? Why can't they disclose what the reasoning is for him not being there? Because I would be much rather see Keith Lee wrestling Bobby Lashley than bring out Bill Goldberg at 50-plus years old.
Yeah, good question. What do you guys you guys have any insight on that?
Well, Keith Lee has done a bunch of Twitter posts asking for patience and everything like that. Quite honestly, with a medical condition, they can't disclose it unless he gives them permission to. It's a HIPAA thing. So if it is something medical, then that's what it is. If it's something else, he's not letting it out. So whatever it is, he's keeping it close to the chest. Hopefully we see him back soon. He's asked for patience. He's asked everybody, you know, he says he's working his way back, and hopefully we see it soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Keith Lee, it's got to be something serious, like, for it to be this long and this mysterious or whatever. So don't really know on that. I mean, hopefully we see him back soon. If Goldberg is the next best option to Brock Lesnar, is that, like, I don't know, like a diet RC Cola instead of like, come on. Like, I don't know one person that wants to see Goldberg come back again. I don't care if you have to pay him whatever for his contract. You can use him for two matches a year. Don't do it. Like, you're going to make – I watched SmackDown last night. I'm not watching Raw if Goldberg's out there. Like, I'm changing the channel. I don't care. I didn't care about him 20-something years ago. Stop doing this stuff. Like, you've got a little bit of hype right now, and you're just going to ruin it.
I agree.
And unfortunately, I mean, I agree with everybody, but part of his contract, he's got to get match number two on the year in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just think of the bonus. The bonus. He's not winning. He's only got two matches per year. He's not going to beat Lashley.
Take him on 205 Live.
It's like, what's the point if he's going to lose anyway? It's a diminishing returns every time he comes out because people know he's not going to win anyway.
No, you're right. You're right. And, well, you know, and who knows? I mean, they did pull one over on us and had him beat Brock Lesnar a couple years ago. So, you know, you never know, you know.
Maybe he'll come in and he'll take the title, but then he can't defend it until 2022 when his next match is available on his contract.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure Goldberg's open to making more money for another match added or whatever. I'm sure there's stipulations in there.
Give them ideas.
Why could they do this before I let you guys go? I know you guys are stuff to talk about, but why could they just let John Cena fight Bobby Lashley and then let Finn Balor go against Roman Reigns? Why couldn't they have done it that way?
Yeah, now that Finn Balor's back, I don't think they want to ease Finn Balor back into the, you know, they're not obviously not throwing him in a main event spot. So, I mean,
they could transition to him for SummerSlam once they get past this weekend.
Yeah.
I could totally see Finn being kind of the next one up in line because I don't expect Roman to lose it, you know, tomorrow either. So,
yeah. No.
Yeah, so.
Because I think Edge is going against Seth Rollins at SummerSlam.
Well, Seth is going to be involved with Edge at SummerSlam, so the story is already written.
And they're going for a monster crowd, and I'm sorry, John Cena is a bigger draw than Finn Balor right now.
And John Cena just finished up his commitments to the Peacemaker that he was working on.
My point is John could still be on the show. He could go against Lashley, and Finn Balor could go against Roman.
Yeah.
So John's still on the show. That would be my point.
Well, Lashley's not taking the torch.
Yeah.
There's a glimmer of hope for Cesaro or Big E. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Maybe. I still think there's a glimmer of hope for Big E. I think they got big things planned for him shortly.
I guess we will see after this weekend. Money in the Bank is giving the nod to usually the next champion. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Mike. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. You guys have a good day, man.
Thank you. You too. 222-1280, *1280 is the number. We've got Pete who's got a question. Pete, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are doing great. Stay dry, bro. It's raining.
I know. I'm not going out at all today because it's terrible.
Hey,
listen, I turned on the TV Wednesday night. I don't know if you guys talked about this or not. At 8 o'clock, expecting to see AEW Dynamite, and they were showing a movie. And Dynamite didn't come on the air until after 10, I guess.
This past week, this last Wednesday, it was on 8 o'clock. It was, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to get it. It was on 8 o'clock.
Yeah, the West Coast feed or something going on. I don't know.
I'm at a nursing home rehabilitating from COVID-19, and they get DirecTV here. So I don't know if it was them that did that or what, but. Yeah, I turned it on at just after 8, and I'm hearing Van Halen's jump in a few scenes from what looked like a science fiction setting. I didn't catch the name of the movie.
Yeah, I'm believing that it's DirecTV, and we're sorry that you had COVID-19, and it sounds like you're doing okay, bro.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be getting out of here this coming week, so I'm grateful for that, but. You know, it just caught me by surprise. I got to see Dynamite later on in the night, but I didn't expect it. And you're actually the second person that said to me that, it was on 8 o'clock as per usual. So I guess I'm led to believe now that it was actually DirecTV that pulled the switch.
That's what it sounds like, because they were all over the place for the past month until a week ago last Wednesday.
And now the NBA.
Yeah, now they drew their biggest audience ever this past Wednesday. So I think people are happy.
Well, it was a great show what I saw. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
all the matches were tight, were crisp.
I agree. It was definitely a good show to to promote their product because they had the most eyes on it, and they and it was a good, and you know, we got to see the FTW belt change hands, you know.
Huge pop for Ricky Starks.
Yeah, Ricky Starks coming back from a neck injury, and man, he looked great, you know.
So are they going to legitimize that title or what? I thought it was just a prop when they first brought it back.
I think it's still a prop.
Is it? Yeah.
I don't think you can legitimize that. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's a weird dynamic because obviously Ricky Starks got a huge reaction from the crowd. Technically, he kind of should be the heel in that match, the way the storyline's been going with Team Taz. But nice to see him get the win. I don't care about the title. He can throw that in the trash for all I care. But right. You know, between
maybe
the pop that he got,
rescue it.
Yeah, really. Hacksaw's not doing anything. He can pull that out of the garbage, you know. No, as Taz said on commentary, the FTW belt has never been sanctioned by any of the organizations that it's been defended in, you know. And so, I mean, I think it's like Taz's little group's belt. And now the question is does Cage come out as a super baby face from this, or will it eventually? Will he come out and confront them next week and get beaten down by Taz's gang? Or, I mean, it does build in a lot. Storylines into it, which I don't have a problem with, because Brian Cage has just been treading water for quite a long time.
Right. He hasn't won a big match yet since coming over to AEW.
He certainly hasn't, so.
No.
Well, Lee, thanks for calling, bro, and get healthy, okay?
Oh, I'm working on it, bro.
Okay, man. Well, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for calling.
All right, yeah, bye.
All right.
I think what's nice, too, is, I mean, it's a big moment for Ricky Starks. Obviously, you know, Darby in the main event, everything else. I when you're talking about the ratings this week, the best numbers were for Sammy Guevara against Wheeler Yuta. And I mean, Wheeler's debut for Dynamite itself, and a Britt Baker promo. These are all people that were not established in WWE or somewhere else, for all the people that talk about that. Like, they really are in the process of making their own new stars, getting attention and stuff. I think there's a lot of promise there, the fact that they're pulling in those kind of numbers with names that aren't the household names.
And your main event, Ethan Page versus Darby Allin. And that was, I mean, on a show that was probably, in my opinion, the best Dynamite they've had. Like, from start to finish, just unbelievable. Like, if you want someone to get exposed to the AEW product, that's the show to do it right there.
Yeah, and it's built. The audience is I almost would hate to say, but it's built in. You know, people are coming back. I mean, some of the numbers they were pulling on Fridays and Saturdays weren't anywhere near what they're getting now. I think,
and you could tell. I mean, the crowd, like the crowd was good in Miami and whatever, and they had some decent crowds in Jacksonville toward the end. But that sold out crowd in Austin, like, really made a big difference. And hopefully, like, they've got some other shows and some good markets coming up that hopefully they can get that kind of crowd going again, because it makes it so much more enjoyable to watch. The same thing goes for SmackDown last night. Can any crowd make Raw exciting for me? Probably not, but at least SmackDown was better last night.
I'm guessing, and go ahead, Ferbs.
I was going to say, I think in regards to, like, the crowds and the sound, I think the whole stadium feel and the big arena, the way that the sound comes out, I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, without a doubt. So on that note, we're going to break. I mean, I really do want to get back to Slammiversary and talk a little bit about what's going on that card. We have Money in the Bank to talk about. I just thought of something when we were talking about, you know, being in front of live crowds again, and I want you guys to think about this during the commercial break. A lot of guys were sent back to the training facility to retrain for live shows. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard the stories about that, and that's how Bayley got hurt. She was retrained. They were retrained. She was working a match, you know, in the performance center, and tore her ACL, which she just had surgery, and came through okay this past week. And she blamed it on the people again, which is great. But think about this. I mean, is that insulting to these guys who have been wrestling for a year now, not in front of a crowd? Or is there elements that we don't really know as fans that work better when there's a crowd there? I know one thing they can't do is put the crash pad out there and then, you know, cut the camera view and then cut back a minute later after they slid it out of the way. But think about that. And you guys out there, think about it too. Give us a call at 222-1280, *1280. And we got a call waiting on the flip side before we get into that discussion. You are listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, who's in Gates, Furby out in Hilton, and the Artiste in parts unknown, Rochester. By the way, Mr. Artiste, you got a looks like a queen size bed with a king size
oh man, what a
frame.
Yeah, there's no way to describe that too quickly, but yeah, maybe it'd be nice if the box was marked, but wrong bed frame was sent and it was fully set up before realizing that it's the wrong size. So it's a if anybody wants to buy a king size bed frame, contact me. Right. It's a nice one.
You can find Rob Sanderson, the Artiste, on Facebook as well as other places. Let's go to the phones real quick. We got a friend of ours, long lost friend of ours, Paul. Paul, how's it going, buddy?
It's not Paul, dude.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was Phylexis for a second. No, it's Scott. What's up, Scott?
You really thought it was Paul, didn't you?
Well, I got to tell you, I honestly have about 2 seconds to be able to hear who's on the phone, because not only are we having some technical issues here, but also I'm running and talking on a show that I'm actually screening phone calls for at the same time. So, Scott,
you're just a man of all talents, my friend. You just have so many responsibilities, it boggles the mind.
Just remember,
how you get through these things.
Remember that when the Hall of Fame voting is going, okay, brother? What's up?
Well, you know, I was actually out running errands today, flipped on the channel, heard you guys, and said, hey, what the heck? And then I heard that Bill Goldberg's coming back, so I guess he really needs that punch on his AARP card, huh?
Yay, wait a second. He's younger than me. Go ahead. No. He has signed one of those deals, those two fights a year or whatever, you know? I mean, someone likes him there. It's probably Vince McMahon. I don't know. Someone likes him.
Well, you know, if it's from the 90s and it was a draw at some point in time somewhere in the 90s, it's valuable to Vince McMahon, who clearly is still living in the 90s for the most part, because if you watch Monday Night Raw, and I'll say this too, I've gotten so tired of watching Monday Night Raw, I've decided to watch the Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff era of Nitros instead, and those make more sense than watching Monday Night Raw.
Oh, the powers that be. Are you kidding me?
The powers that be storylines were better than the current Monday Night Raw storyline.
Yeah, you have Roddy Piper being with a spotlight on him every time he would go and talk to the powers that be. It was terrible.
The powers that be, the entire New Blood era, all of that stuff is better than the current crop of crap that I see on Monday Night.
Well,
because I know that if I miss a match on Monday Night, I can watch it the next week and see the exact same match over again.
True. The two guys just don't have, you know, you think they have a blow-off match, and then they keep wrestling each other for the next 4 weeks. You know, it's just, yeah. No, you make sense. You make a lot of sense. Are you going to watch Money in the Bank on tomorrow night?
I am going to watch Money in the Bank because I want to see where it goes. I think I'm actually really interested in the women's Money in the Bank because, let's face it, SmackDown's female talent pool is a little shallow right now. It sounds like they're getting some help in. They've gotten a couple of people from NXT and Tony Storm's coming up, which is a good thing. But with the lack of Bayley and seemingly the disappearance of Sasha Banks, you got to wonder if someone from SmackDown is going to get that briefcase and start trying to make something of that division again, because right now the Raw women's division is looking to be in decent shape, but the SmackDown women's division, just you got to wonder what's going to come out of this car crash now that Bayley's gone down.
Looking at the card on paper, like, I think the women's Money in the Bank match, there are a lot of very talented women signed to WWE contracts. I don't know what percentage of them are actually in this Money in the Bank match. Like, the men's Money in the Bank match is pretty stacked. I think that's going to be a great match. The women's match, I probably would pick a different pool of women for most of it. Just going to say
that. I agree, and I think there's only two people that come out of that women's Money in the Bank match as the winner. It's either Vega or Liv Morgan.
I don't think either of those ladies are going to win it. I'm guessing Asuka or, I mean, someone who... Listen, Asuka's been there every week for the past year and a half when nothing was going on, you know, and I mean...
I get it, but does she need it again? It's not going to be Naomi, is it? It's not going to be Tamina or Natalya.
I don't think all eight of them women are making it into that match. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think there's going to be some shenanigans at the pay-per-view, and maybe one surprise, maybe someone who's been on TV recently but in a different role is going to take a spot. I don't think you're going to see everybody that's in that match actually in that match.
Interesting.
I wonder who you mean. I wonder. She's been in a different role, but she seems to be, you know, in fighting shape. I wonder. Now, can you guys confirm something for me? Because I heard this week, and I was really curious. Is Nia Jax on leave of absence?
Is she what?
Did Nia Jax take a leave of absence?
No, I don't think so. Nia Jax, she posted something that got her in a little bit of heat from the WWE this past week.
Well, she posted something about like not being where she should be and needing to grow or something like that, and then came out hours later and said, yeah, this was just random. It didn't mean anything.
yeah, after everybody...
Oh, okay. I'm not paying that close attention to it. I'll be honest with you. With WWE, I'm only watching SmackDown and a little bit of NXT. Anything at all involving The Way, I think, is hilarious, especially Index. But I haven't been following Raw really at all. So it's interesting to see where some of that stuff might go. And I had heard from a friend, someone was like, oh, Nia's leaving. And I'm like, what do you mean Nia's leaving? And he's like, oh, she said something on Twitter about leaving. So I didn't have a chance to follow up, so I was going to ask you guys.
No, I don't think
so. Is there, I don't want to get it like down this rabbit hole, but wasn't there some kind of social media post from Nia that was kind of anti-vaxxy, similar to what Sasha Banks also was seen liking on social media and stuff, and they're kind of both out of the picture now that, I don't know, like they're starting to travel again, all this stuff. I don't know if there's some kind of policies we don't know about or anything else going on there. I don't know if that could be related to Nia not being on TV or not.
I just thought she hurt her hole again.
Hold on a second.
She probably hurt somebody else again, too.
What was that, Scott?
I had heard that there was a policy that if they wanted to go on the road, they needed to be vaxxed.
Well,
they wanted them vaxxed.
And they prefer the audience as well. I think, I mean, obviously, you know, or if you aren't, to wear a mask, I believe they said. So, you know, we're still going through the growing pains of what's going on in this world right now. And, you know, if you lose a push because of it, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you feel, I mean, remember, Roman Reigns stepped out of the main event of WrestleMania 2 years ago because of this, or whatever, WrestleMania from 2 years ago. So, you know, I mean, if you're believing your convictions, you know, and, you know why freedom of choice, it's what they want, you know, sorry, yeah, to quote.
I'm not going to comment either way on it. It's their choices. It's a personal choice of what you make. But obviously, if you want to go on the road and they say you need to be vaxxed and you don't want to get vaxxed, then you can't go on the road. If them's the rules, them's the rules. We have to accept it. That's what it's going to be.
True. You know, I mean, and, yep. But if WWE says, hey, if you're not vaxxed, then you'd stay home. And maybe they are, you know. So, well, I guess, you know, well, and I'm interested, Danger. I'm not sure you're talking about who you mentioned a minute ago might show up and be in this match.
Well, there's two separate people I was talking about. One hasn't been on TV for about a year and a half.
Oh,
The other one's been on TV every single week, just in a different role.
Gotcha. Okay. So it might be a good return for somebody, you're saying, you know, a good, you know, to be like a mystery spot. Someone who maybe had like the 9-month injury, you know what I'm talking about, you know? Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I would like that because I think, you know, it's, you know, not that the women have been great during this pandemic. And it's like, you know, I mean, to a certain extent, we've seen them grow, flex, and then get rid of people, you know, that they felt they didn't need in the women's division. Who some of them that got rid of may be showing up on Slammiversary tonight. But Scott, we got to run, okay, bro? Thanks for calling, man.
No problem.
I know I sound like I'm throwing out mystery things, but Ferb, you did throw up a question yesterday when we in our group discussion about maybe someone who might, maybe a couple who might be showing up on Slammiversary tonight.
There's definitely a few people that are going to be surprises. I mean, the Iconics. Who knows? Mickie James.
90 days ended a couple days ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So. They're both there. I know. I still think Chelsea Green is going to be there, especially now that they dropped the whole mixed gender tag match with Brian Myers and Tennille Dashwood and Matt Cardona and a mystery partner.
Mystery partner. Yeah.
So we'll see. That's very intriguing.
That seems more legit for Chelsea to be there instead of being up against Deonna Purrazza, you know. And Deonna Purrazza, yeah. I think Mickie James seems like a shoe-in for that one.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially the way they're kind of building up the legend, who she's knocked off as legend. So Mickie James makes sense there.
Yeah.
And then we still have to fill the spot for whoever's taking TJP's place in that four-way tag match too. So there's a lot of there's a lot of intrigue. I mean, the only thing about this is, like, I feel like maybe last year was similar, where there was kind of like a little bit of a letdown after Impact talked so much about surprises and used actual footage of people who had just been released and everything. Like, it was almost too much of a, like, you must tune into this because we're going to have X amount of surprises, where you kind of almost want the surprises to just happen. I understand they want people to actually buy the pay-per-view and watch it to then see these surprises, but I'm hoping they deliver with how much they have teased the all of these surprises for tonight. It's not like it's just one.
Definitely.
No way, Jose.
There's three blank spots.
What happened to him?
Yeah, who knows? Probably got to go by a new name wherever.
You got name dropped a lot on Impact this week.
Well, I was going to say, I've seen video shots of Kurt Angle from Impact also, you know, so, but I don't think that's happening. So we got to go to break on that. Got one last segment, get squeeze some news in, maybe talk a little bit more about Money in the Bank tomorrow night, Slammiversary tonight, or whatever you want to talk about. 222-1280 is the number, *1280. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Graduating from NXT back to SmackDown. And coming out and telling Sami Zayn to shut up, pretty much. I did throw out a question for you guys to think about. You've seen the thing about retraining these guys before going on the road. You guys have any thoughts on that? Is there something I'm missing that you have to retrain for a live crowd danger?
Well, it's not retraining. It's they're getting their stamina back. They're getting their legs back under them. They're going to be working four nights a week instead of one. They're not being retrained. They're not relearning how to work the crowd. They're just getting their legs back under them because they haven't had to do it for freaking 18 months.
Okay. So that makes sense.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily something that you need to require. I think the main thing that you need to do, that all these companies need to do, is find a way to make sure that all these people have proper ring time that they want. Like, I always think of it in an aspect of, like, if somebody's in AEW, for example, and they're coming in and they're working a match on Wednesday, but, you know, they're not working in Indy on the weekend or something, there's not a practice ring in the back in AEW and stuff, like, yes, you get better the more you have matches on live TV and stuff like that, but just having the ability to actually get some ring time and work out and try new things and whatever, that's not always, like, the easiest thing. The Performance Center makes that easier for people that live in that area, that work for WWE, stuff like that. But I think more than anything, like, giving them the option is a good thing. Whether or not you need to require it, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I'm glad that, you know, what did you think about that, Ferbs, when I threw that out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's just a great tune-up. I mean, you want to make sure you're tip-top shape before you get back in the road.
And so that's something that you couldn't say is keeping Keith Lee away, because Keith Lee, I mean, if he was sent back to the Performance Center, he would have, you know, we would have heard about him being there the whole time. He just disappeared, you know, and still nothing said about it. And we'll find out eventually, I'm guessing. I'm going to throw out real quick. We're going to vote here. All of us are going to vote. So think of two people right now. One, who's going to win the men's Money in the Bank ladder match? Guys, I'm going to throw it out first by saying I think Big E is going to win it. Okay.
I'm going to agree with that just because that's what I want it to happen. So I'm going to speak it into existence. So
I'm going to agree as well. I think him or Riddle, they're the only two that can win.
I think it's a clean sweep here. Big E.
Okay, and now the women's Money in the Bank. Who do you think is going to walk off? I mean, we talked about it a little bit already. I said Asuka. I'm going to go pick Asuka again as well. I don't really want to see Alexa Bliss, who doesn't really wrestle. I don't know what she's even doing in that match. You know, if anyone's going to go back to NXT and, like, get more season, you know, we saw Mandy Rose show up there this week. Why couldn't they send Alexa Bliss back there just to get, you know, more matches in before she, you know, comes out and does, like, a three-minute match like we see every week? But I'm going with Asuka. What do you guys think?
If it's not Becky Lynch, I'm going Liv Morgan.
Okay, see, that's who we didn't want to talk about.
Yeah, if we're going with the eight people there currently, I am also going Liv Morgan.
Okay. Ferbs?
I mean, I already gave my hot takes. It's go with Liv Morgan. Oh, okay. But, I mean, if you really want to push Liv Morgan to the moon as a babyface, have Daddy DeVille take her spot and win Money in the Bank.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would.
Sonya, I mean,
Hey, you never know.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think we were full of surprises. They're going to be on the road in front of a live crowd. And
I wish we didn't have to wait till Friday to get Toni Storm. Like, I wish she could just be in this now, tomorrow night.
Yeah, Toni Storm.
She could win.
We didn't even talk about that. Toni Storm is announced as having her debut match next Friday night. Harry Smith came out this week. You know, Davey Boy Jr., or D.H. Smith, whatever he was called in WWE his first time, said he signed back with WWE, and he actually did he had a dark match last night before SmackDown, which is not a bad thing, because Harry, you know, last he was tagging with, what's his name from AEW?
Lance Archer.
Yeah, Lance Archer. They were tagging in New Japan, and we haven't really seen that.
The Killer Elite Squad, yeah. I was holding out hope that maybe they would reunite in AEW, but that's not going to happen. And then he was also, he was in the Newhart Foundation in MLW as well, so.
Yeah. Well, now he'll be debuting sometime soon, which is pretty cool. I mentioned some other news this week. Go Big has got a second season on TBS, and Cody Rhodes is going to be once again one of the judges. He probably was one of the most expressive judges of all of them, I think, when I watched the show a few times.
You see the judge that's not coming back?
Wait a second, hold on. Who's not coming? Well, I don't know who Bert Kreischer is, so I know I'm probably a jerk for saying
that. He's the host, but no, yeah. Snoopaloop is not coming back.
Oh, no
Snoop. Bring your green hat. No Snoop Dogg.
Oh,
I think they said DJ Khaled is replacing him, which that's not nearly as entertaining.
Huh. DJ Khaled. Interesting. I think that. Yeah. So I mentioned Bailey underwent surgery. She's going to be okay in about 9 months. You'll see her then. Walter, the NXT UK came out this week and said Walter had some sort of hand injury on this week's episode, and that he's going to be delaying his match against Dragunov. I didn't see the injury. Did you, Ferbs? I know you're a huge Walter fan.
Yeah. I saw rumors that it happened during the press conference. I mean, I don't know how or where it could have happened. He slammed his hand down once. If that was it, it's pretty weak, but, wish him the best, cause we all got robbed of a barn burner and probably a new champ. So, it's unfortunate, but, it'll happen eventually.
It does. It's like, I think he's an underutilized wrestler too. I really liked when they were doing NXT, they were on NXT. But nevertheless, one last piece of news before we get out of here. Looks like, Matt Stryker's back doing commentary for Impact. I wasn't sure if he had been back or not yet, but he's been gone for quite a while. I guess he had some personal business to take care of, but he will be back for tonight's Slammiversary. And I want to remind you guys, if you aren't getting enough wrestling in your life, tonight, Fight TV, you can get Slammiversary. We've got lots of great matches. All the championships.
I think it's one of the most intriguing pay-per-views of the whole year in wrestling. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and just everybody in the company is working, and there'll be a lot of surprises, because we mentioned the 90 days was up. So when 90 days is up, that's when all of a sudden all those people who got cut back in April are now available.
And it's the last like main promotion to have fans back, so it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see how Impact does with fans.
Yeah, and then and then you're done with that. You get up Sunday and you watch Money in the Bank, which once again will have some surprise appearances as well. We're guessing in front of a live crowd certainly won't hurt. And that's kicking off the road to SummerSlam, which we know is definitely coming. And, you know, yes, we broke the news earlier that Bill Goldberg's coming back. But, you know, you don't have to hold that against him. You know, with Bill Goldberg's wrestling on SummerSlam, it'll be a very short match. So on that note, I want to let people know all our old shows are online on iTunes, as well as check out thepainclinic.net or feelthepain.net. You can find our old shows on there. We're on social media. Be our friend on Facebook. You can watch live like we've been doing Facebook Live this whole match. And I want to thank you, Danger. Thank you, Ferbs. Thank you, Artiste. Another week in the books. We will be back next Saturday. As always, same bat time, same bat channel. See you next week, folks.